Daar is so baie vrae en teorieë oor die COVID-vaksines. Ons weet ook nie eens wanneer presies dit in Suid-Afrika gaan aankom nie, watter dit gaan wees nie en presies hoe alles gaan werk nie. En juist daarom gaan ek vandag met professor Glenda Gray, sy is president van die SA Mediese Navorsingsraad, praat oor die COVID-vaksines. Baie welkom professor Gray.
Good morning and good morning to your listeners.
Goed, baie welkom. Ek gaan die vrae in Afrikaans vra en as daar enige onduidelikheid is, dan sal ek dit herhaal in Engels, sodat ons daarom so 'n bietjie Afrikaans in die program kan inbring. Die eerste vraag is natuurlik, professor Gray, hoe werk die vaksines? Want met die ding dat daar 'n viral vector of RNA in die vaksin is, dink baie mense, jy gaan nou verander in 'n dinosaurus of jou DNA gaan verander. Maar presies, hoe werk die viral vector vaksin?
Okay, so that's a good question. So there are different kinds of platforms. The platform with the messenger RNA is a platform that Pfizer and Moderna did for their vaccine. This was a two-dose vaccine and was between 90-95% effective. So the messenger RNA strategy is that it sends a message to the DNA in your body to produce proteins that then will induce an immune response. So that is the strategy for the mRNA. So it doesn't change your DNA in any way. It just uses the strategy to instruct your body's cells to produce proteins that will then cause the immune response to respond to the proteins that have been produced. The other platforms that have been used is what we call the viral vector approach. And this is what the AD26 J&J study and the ChAdOx study from AstraZeneca that used the chimp adenovirus. So these two strategies use an adenovirus as the platform to deliver an immunogen to the immune system. So the immunogen that is used is from the spike protein. The spike protein is on the outermost surface of the virus. So if you see that picture of the coronavirus, you see all those little horns. So you synthesize parts of those horns, you put it into the viral vector, and you give it to the person. And then the immune system recognizes these spike proteins and produces an immune response to those spike proteins so that if you are exposed or get infected with SARS-CoV-2, you will have a better outcome. You will have less disease and less severe disease. There are other strategies that use inactivated SARS-CoV-2 as a vaccine, and that's from the Chinese. And then there's also another adeno-5 viral vector approach, which has been used by the Chinese as well and also the Russians. The Russians use an AD26 and an AD5 viral vector platform. And then there are other strategies, which is Novavax, which use like a nanoparticle formulation. But what is it? What is common for all of these COVID vaccine approaches is the use of the spike protein to induce an immune response. And the responses have been pretty similar. The Chinese one was a little bit less effective than the others, but any vaccine that's over 50% effective with good coverage will produce an impact or a dent into the epidemic. And so we use all these different approaches for a vaccine delivery, and I think the important thing is whatever approach is being used, the world at a global level has got fairly good responses. We didn't know that any of these vaccine approaches would work, and so we're very excited that these various approaches seem to produce similar results in efficacy studies.
So sal jy omgee dat enige van die vaksines na Suid-Afrika toe kom jy op, is daar een wat jy 'n voorkeur voor het?
Well, I think that we need to have given the shortage of vaccines at a global level, we need to have a bouquet or a portfolio of vaccines. And obviously the best vaccine approach would be a single dose vaccine that has minimal refrigeration. So that would be your best bet. And obviously, the more complex, giving two doses and having vaccines that require minus 70 refrigeration could be deployed in areas where there is good cold chain storage and good infrastructure. So in my opinion, if I was the health minister, I would try and get all the vaccines into the country because we are short of doses and we're behind a lot of the other countries in getting doses to our people. So I think that at this stage I wouldn't have a preference. My only preference would be to get volumes of doses into the country. And obviously, just to add, any vaccine that comes into the country should be safe and should be effective. So we do need to see the dossiers. So we can't just import any vaccine willy-nilly, whether it's the Sputnik vaccine or the Chinese vaccine. We will need to make sure that these vaccines are safe and effective. We will need to look at the data, and our regulatory authorities will need to give us the green light that they think these vaccines are safe and effective. It's no good importing and spending lots of money on a vaccine that doesn't work or isn't safe.
Ja, ek vra die vraag, want die SA Kommunistiese Party plaas baie druk op die regering om vaksine van nie-westerse lande te kry, soos van China of van Rusland.
Ja, I mean, so I would, whatever vaccine is coming, whether it's from China or Russia or from the United States, I would say that we need to treat all the vaccines the same, and that we need to have very good scrutiny. We need to be able to look at their dossiers, and we need to have information on their effectiveness. And any country or any pharmaceutical company that denies access to data, we should not even look at that vaccine.
Dan wil ek hoor, die gebruik van RNA of mRNA in 'n vaksin is eintlik nie soos wat ek verstaan. Hoe weet ons dat dit werk en dat dit funksioneel is en doeltreffend is en veilig is? Of is hierdie metode nie so nuut as wat ons dink nie?
It's new for infectious diseases, but this strategy has been used for cancer and other diseases. And so there is a long history of the use in other disease entities. But it is new for vaccinology. However, both the Moderna and the Pfizer vaccine have gone through very strict regulatory review. The FDA has looked at it, the European, the UK regulatory authorities, and the EMA have also looked at it. And so these regulatory authorities are very sophisticated. In addition, the WHO has reviewed the data and has given a green light to it. So I think we have enough international agencies and normative bodies like the WHO that whose job it is to give the green light for these vaccines to be used in people. And so my feeling is from the its work in previous in other diseases and from the data that we have derived from the studies is that it's a good and effective methodology to use for people. And already a lot of the European countries and the USA have already started to roll out these vaccines. Whether the mRNA vaccines will be available in South Africa is questionable. First of all, Moderna, that created the one mRNA vaccine, has had no interest in registering its vaccine in South Africa. And the Pfizer one requires minus 80 refrigeration, and it's quite expensive. So for us to get it, we would have to get it at a very reduced price. So I do think that unfortunately, these may not be options for South Africa, and we would have to rather rely on other vaccine approaches where the vaccines are much cheaper. So the AstraZeneca vaccine, the TempAd or Tadox one, is around $3 to $4 a dose, and the J&J one is in a similar range. So those are very affordable, whereas the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines are much more expensive than the other viral vectors. I'm not sure what the Chinese or the Russian one is cost, but definitely Moderna and the Pfizer, which are the mRNA vaccines, are the most expensive vaccines at this moment in time for COVID vaccines.
Professor Gray, as a land, aan 'n land 'n middel vervaardig en hulle gebruik die kliniese toetse word gedoen in 'n ander land. Byvoorbeeld, Oxford AstraZeneca vaksin is in Suid-Afrika getoets. Het Suid-Afrika nie dan 'n goeie bedingings mag om seker te maak dat ons redelik voor in die ry staan wanneer hierdie vaksin uitgerol word nie? En hoekom het dit dan nie gebeur nie?
When you do vaccine trials in South Africa, normally there is an arrangement that there will be access. And I can speak for the J&J vaccine because I am the national PI and I'm also a co-chair. And very early on, we got an indication that J&J would provide 1 billion doses for not-for-profit passes for countries that were involved in the clinical trials. And this is Brazil, Mexico, Colombia, South Africa, the United States, and Peru, Argentina, and Chile. And these countries have been offered not-for-profit passes, and it's up to the government then to engage with the with industry to do this. I did inform the Minister of Health that they were not-for-profit passes, as did the J&J sent a letter to the Department of Science and Innovation. So it is evident that from the J&J side, overtures were made to the government around the product. And we know that this is so because J&J has submitted a rolling submission to the South African regulatory authorities for a vaccine, and they have an interest in registering the vaccine in our country. So the first step is to get the vaccine registered in the country, and certainly J&J has indicated that once they know if this vaccine is effective, they will be applying for registration. So that is evidence that that there is intent from the J&J side to deliver vaccines to South Africa. And so there's certain things that a national PR or a co-chair of a vaccine trial can do. And what our job was to do was to ensure that vaccine would be available at a not-for-profit price. But that's where our delegation of authority ends, because we are not the government. And so we can't enter into any relationship with pharmaceutical company on behalf of the government, because the government has to procure the vaccine. As far as I know, for the Chadox AstraZeneca study, there were also similar offers, and again, it's up to the government then to take up these offers. And the government has admitted that there have been discussions with both AstraZeneca and J&J in the last year, which is indicative of the pharmaceutical companies' willingness to engage with South Africa.
But we still, maar ons het nog steeds nie die vaksines nie. Weet, so ergens moes dit deur die vingers geglip het.
Yeah, I mean, so it is surprising if we don't have any vaccine. We know that even poorer countries in Africa, like Kenya, has got vaccine access. We know that other countries in Latin America, Colombia, Chile, Argentina, Venezuela, who's even poorer than us, have access. We also know that Zimbabwe has been given an offer of doses from the UK. So what it says to me is that maybe we weren't as vigorous as other countries in negotiating vaccine deals. Maybe there was a feeling that we would get the vaccines in some other kind of way. So I'm not too sure whether there was lethargy on the side of the government, or whether they entered into difficult negotiations that they haven't made us aware of with the pharmaceutical companies.
Sure, maar in die, op die ou einde is die publiek die verloorder. Maar standelik nie die
ouwe losers. Yeah, I mean, yeah. So just, you know, so what happens is that you know, South Africa is the hardest hit country in Africa with the epidemic. Our healthcare workers are tired, they're exhausted, they don't have adequate PPE, there's shortages, they're expected to work and manage the epidemic, and not securing them vaccine in a timely fashion is very sad. It's sad for me because I also come from a healthcare worker background. I was a pediatrician and I was a doctor, and so it disturbs me that some of my colleagues go to work and I worry about their health. And so, of course, I want healthcare workers in our country to get vaccines. I want them to be prioritized, and I want them to get the vaccine as quickly as possible. It's not fair not to get vaccines for them in a quick fashion.
Professor Gray, ek wil net vinnig teruggaan na die werking van die vaksin toe. Daar is nou nuwe variante in Suid-Afrika, en daar is ook variante in Engeland en in ander lande aangeteken. Hoe weet mens dat die viral vector of die protein wat gebou gaan word of geaktiveer word, waarteen die liggaam moet, wat die liggaam moet erken as vreemd? Hoe weet mens dat die proteïen nog steeds in die variant die regte proteïene is? Of moet mens
nou... That's a very good question. Yeah, so that's an important question. And so we are in a very lucky position or unlucky position to be able to study that. So when we rolled out the J&J vaccine trial in South Africa and Latin America and the United States, the new circulating strain was circulating in South Africa. And so we will be able to compare vaccine efficacy across the different regions. We'll be able to see whether whether the vaccine efficiency is diminished in South Africa as compared to USA and America, and Latin America. So that's the first thing we'll be able to compare. The second thing is that every breakthrough infection that we have on a vaccine trial, we sequence the virus to see what's happened and what the breakthrough infection looks like. What does the virus look like? And then thirdly, we also look at samples from different regions to see whether the samples from participants who got the vaccine, whether they neutralize the virus in the laboratory. So those are all very important experiments, and we're doing this with all the trials to try and understand whether there's any impact on vaccine efficacy. The important thing to note is that an immune response is a very sophisticated thing, and when you immunize someone with a vaccine, you get a couple of processes that happen. You get antibodies that neutralize the virus. You get antibodies that bind the virus. You get a CD4 T cell helper cell response. You get non-antibody activities like phagocytosis and cytolysis that also act. So you don't just need one part of the immune system to work. And we hope that this broad immune response will help navigate or circumnavigate the variant. But even though we hope that this will happen, we obviously will have to keep checking to see if this is indeed true. If we don't rapidly vaccinate at a global level, we will continue to see viral escape and variants. And so it also may mean that towards the end of the year or next year, we may need to put new immunogens into our vaccines, just like the flu vaccine, and people may need to be immunized with the new strain every year if we are unable to control the escape from our immune system of the SARS-CoV-2.
Is dit makkelijk of moeilijk om hierdie immunogen te verander, of die vector of die mRNA-stukkie te verander in die vaccine?
It doesn't seem, you know, so it'll be exactly like the flu vaccine. You know, we know what the immunogen is, we know what the platform is, and you then replace or add the new variant, the new immunogen to your vaccine platform. So this may be an addition, or it may be a replacement. And that we would have to evaluate, particularly if we see if there is an impact on vaccine efficacy by this new variant that's circulating in South Africa. So those are all unknowns at the moment. And so this is a completely data-free zone. And we will have to do these experiments and do these evaluations throughout the year. What we do know about this variant at the moment is that it doesn't seem to impact on the severity of the disease. This virus is more transmissible, but it doesn't make the disease in people worse than the previous circulating strains. And this is from preliminary data that's been both evaluated in the UK and in South Africa.
Okay. En dan wil ek vra, eens op 'n tyd kon Suid-Afrika self vaksinne vervaardig. Moes ons ooit toegelaat het dat ons die kapasiteit verloor het en kan ons dit herskep? Moet ons dit herskep?
Ja, it's a huge tragedy that South Africa, with all its sophistication and good science and good laboratories, is that there's been no government investment in vaccine manufacturing. And unlike South Korea and India, South Africa stopped its vaccine, reduced its vaccine capability. And in the 90s, we used to make a lot of our vaccines, and this was stopped, and that's a great pity. And what we do need to make sure that we need to lobby for government funding to increase vaccine capability in our country. Not being able to do this definitely puts us at a disadvantage at a global level. And we should take the examples of China, South Korea, and India and learn from them and also try invest in that capability in this country. There's no reason why we can't. It just requires government funding and government commitment.
Wat is nie altyd baie van sinie en wat mens baie bekommerd maak as mens kyk hoe baie van die dinge hanteer is tydens hierdie COVID-krisis. Professor Gray, wat sal jy sê vir mense wat nou nog steeds sê, o nee, dit is Bill Gates wat 'n microchip in jou wil plant of dit is 5G conspiracy theories of vaksines is eintlik glad nie so goed as wat mense dit uitmaak om te wees nie. Sal jy self die vaksin ontvang en wat sê mens vir oor al die teorieë wat teen vaksinne is?
Yeah, I mean, I've been following the anti-vaxxers and the conspiracy theories. So first of all, I want to say that I was part of the experimental TADOX vaccine trial. So I decided to volunteer into the experimental vaccine trial in last year. And so I was part of that. And so, and a lot of scientists, friends of mine, also took part in vaccine trials to demonstrate that scientists themselves will be part of the clinical trials. So I think that's the first thing. The second thing I'd like to say, I'm sure every listener that's listening today has a friend or family member that have got COVID and who have died from COVID. And we are all affected. So the whole of last year, I've had friends, fellow scientists, colleagues who work with me, their parents die from COVID. And I've had staff members that have died from COVID. So it's very hard for me to believe that COVID doesn't exist and it's a conspiracy theory. And also in terms of vaccines, you know, we know how vaccines work. We've used vaccines for every epidemic or pandemic that the world has ever known. And the only way we were ever able to control smallpox, polio, measles. And anyway, we were ever able to prevent our children from getting pneumococcal meningitis or Haemophilus influenza meningitis is to give them the vaccine. We know that vaccines have saved infants and under fives, and that these have both public health and individual health benefits. So it's very sad for me to hear that people believe that this is Bill Gates putting some chip into you. It's very hard for me to believe because I don't know how that happened. You know, it just doesn't sound, it's not biologically plausible. And we have such good evidence that these vaccines work. And so I would hope that the people who you know, who are conspiracy theorists or anti-vaxxers, you know, take a look and see that they and their children and their children's children for years to come will be protected by these biomedical interventions called a vaccine.
Baie, baie dankie, Professor Gray. Ek het gesels met Professor Glenda Gray. Sy is president van die SA Mediese Navorsingsraad. En ons het gepraat oor COVID-vaksine. En soos jy kon hoor, sy het nog nie in 'n perd of in 'n dinosaurus verander nie. En sy het al reeds die vaksine tydens die kliniese proewe ontvang. En laat ons hoop dat die beste dinge so gou as moontlik gebeur en dat ons so gou as moontlik die beste vaksine kan kry. Baie dankie professor Gray. Volgende week gesels ek weer oor gesondheidsake. Skakel dit in volgende Woensdag 11:30.